Welcome to the Pizza Bros Podcast. This is episode 41. Ed goes corporate. That's right. I'm going to hit the big time. Woo, woo, yeah. It's also the very end of volume 4, and we will have a break after this and return with volume 5. All right, Ed goes corporate. Let's do this.
Pizza Bros as a company has been suffering from a labor shortage for the past few years, and it was beginning to wear on their regular full-time employees at each local store. This labor shortage was the reason that Steve had to help fill in at the College City store. But the labor shortage wasn't only limited to the lower-level employees. It affected the company at every level, which is probably the only reason why Ed was ever considered for a district manager in training position.
"I have great news, Ed,"
says Debbie as she barrels her way through the front door of the Chesterwood store. Ed perks up at the promise of not just good news, but great news.
"What is it?"
Ed asks with optimism.
"Your application was accepted. You're gonna be a district manager. Congrats!"
says Debbie with a trolley cheer in her voice.
"Really? Me?"
Ed says with disbelief.
"Guess who gets to train you? I do!" "That means you get to spend every day, all day, with your favorite person in the whole company. Me!"
says Debbie with excitement.
Wow! Yeah! That's great!"
says Ed as he tries to feign enthusiasm over being stuck in the same room with his boss for extended periods of time. Suddenly, Ed hears a commotion coming from the prep room.
"Let's go!"
yells Jenny.
"Now you let go!"
replies Dennis.
"Ugh, hang on, Debbie,"
says Ed as he heads back towards the prep room. Ed enters and sees Jenny and Dennis fighting over the onion slicer.
"What's going on?"
Ed asks Jenny and Dennis angrily.
"He started it,"
accuses Jenny.
"Me? No, you started it,"
replies Dennis angrily.
"Seriously, stop fighting. I'm tired of acting like your dad,"
says Ed as his eye twitches from stress.
"I should never have sent Steve to College City to fill in," he mutters to himself.
Across town, at that very moment, Steve is having the weirdest experience of his life. Fred, the general manager of College City, shows Steve around the store.
"So, this is where we clock in,"
says Fred as he points to the exact same computer terminal that they use in Chesterwood. "Yep, looks like the one at my store," confirms Steve. Fred walks him through the make line, prep room, and walk-in refrigerator, all of which look almost exactly the same as the ones at his store, but just slightly different.
"This is Janice and Lenny,"
says Fred as he introduces Steve to two other delivery drivers who look almost exactly like Dennis and Jenny. And they're even having almost the exact same fight.
"I keep telling you, that is not how you fold a box,"
insists Janice.
"And I keep telling you that your way is 0.6 seconds slower and sloppy,"
argues Lenny. Fred, who looks exactly like Ed, sighs the same sigh, rubs his head as his daily migraine kicks in.
"You two, seriously, stop fighting. This is Steve. He'll be helping out here over the next few weeks until Scott comes back from his,
Fred stops abruptly and hesitates before finishing.
"His medical leave."
What a lucky guy. He got hit by a scooter and now he gets paid time off while I'm stuck here with her,"
says Lenny angrily as he gestures at Janice.
"Oh, great. Here we go again,"
grumbles Fred.
"I'm going out back to smoke."
"Hang on, I'll come with you,"
says Lenny as he pulls out his own pack of cigarettes and the two of them head to the back of the store, leaving Janice and Steve alone.
"Hi, I'm Janice,"
she says with a big, bubbly smile.
"Sorry about Lenny. He's just, well, the worst."
Steve nods his head and laughs. "Yeah, we got a guy just like him back at my store." A few days later, Ed has officially been brought into the district manager and training program and attends a meeting with Debbie.
"Next order of business, what the heck do we do with all this swear jar money?"
asks Debbie's boss, Tim.
It's not income, so we can't exactly keep it. And we can't give it back to the employees, because then they'll keep cussing all dang day. So who's got ideas?
He continues. Tim pauses and realizes that dang is a 75-cent word. He throws a few quarters into his own overflowing swear jar and continues the meeting.
Sir, heck is a 50-cent word as well,
says Derek, one of Debbie's fellow district managers.
Seriously, this is killing me,
grumbles Tim as he throws another 50 cents into the jar.
Okay, you too, Derek. You know that repeating the word is the same as saying it.
Derek reaches deep into his pocket and gladly throws his own quarters into the jar. Tim turns his attention to Ed.
You, new guy, got any ideas? We could, donate it to charity?
Ed suggests, more like a question than an answer. Tim leans back into his office chair and thoughtfully strokes his chin.
Charity. It'd be great PR. And it's a tax write-off. Great job, new guy. All right, you're in charge of donating the money. Who do you have in mind?
Ed has never actually donated anything to charity in his entire life and has to dig deep into his memory to even think of one. Finally, he remembers that there are nuns that run a nearby orphanage who pick up his mistake pizzas to feed to their children.
Well, there is an orphanage by my store,
begins Ed.
Orphans? And a tax write-off? That's perfect!
Tim leans over and buzzes his assistant on the intercom.
Clarice, bring new guy a check!
Later that day, Ed sits in his car holding a $12 million check with no name on it.
$12 million,
mutters Ed to himself. He looks at the check and the temptation to write his own name on it overwhelms his senses.
All I need to do is write my name on here and I'd be set for life,
Ed thinks to himself.
Once the check cleared, I could flee the country and they'd never catch me. I'd be set up on some tropical island somewhere,
says Ed as his imagination runs wild. A few orphans in worn, second-hand clothing chase a ball in a field across from the parking lot. Ed shakes his head.
No, Ed. You can't steal from orphans. Look at them. They're so sad. They need this money more than you do. Plus, this new district manager job is gonna be cush. You can't screw that up.
He takes one more longing look at the check and decides to do the right thing. Ed gets out of his car, walks to the front door of the orphanage, and knocks. A nun in an all-black habit opens the door.
Oh, hi, Ed. Nice to see you. How can I help you today?
She asks softly.
Yes, I have a donation for you. I'm sorry, sister. What was your name again?
He asks awkwardly.
I'm Sister Philomena of the sound that Mary's right foot makes as she crushes the head of the serpent.
She replies cheerfully. Ed frowns as he looks at the pay to line on the check.
So I don't think there's enough room to put that on this check.
Check? I thought you were here to bring us pizzas. You know that our children truly appreciate those extra pizzas you donate. They're such a delightful treat,
Sister Philomena says. Ed blushes as he realizes just how bad the orphans have it.
Well, that's, great. Look, I have a check from Pizza Bros. Hopefully it helps you guys, ladies keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, what a wonderful surprise. Just make it out to the Passionist Nuns of Chesterwood,
Sister Philomena says cheerfully.
Gotcha,
replies Ed as he fills in the pay to line.
Here,
says Ed as he hands her the check.
Deo gratias. Thank you so much,
says Sister Philomena as she grabs the other side of the check. But Ed's hands refuse to release his portion of the check. They struggle for a moment, and finally, Ed lets go.
Sorry, my hands, they do that sometimes,
says Ed with embarrassment.
I gotta go now,
says Ed as he waves goodbye to the most money he'll ever see. As Ed leaves, Sister Philomena sees the amount of the check. Her eyes bug out. She makes the sign of the cross and runs into the orphanage to tell her sisters about the very generous donation they just received. The next day, Steve is still at the College City store. Lenny watches as he opens cans of sauce and pours them into clear food storage containers. grumbles Lenny. Steve takes a rubber spatula and scrapes the inside of the cans to get all the extra sauce out. Grumbles Lenny again. That's it. What is it now? Steve asks angrily.
Well, is that how you actually open a sauce can? Or are you just trying to irritate me?
He asks. Do you really have a problem with the way I open a can? Steve asks angrily.
Well, I mean, if that's how you want to do it, that's fine. But that's not how I would do it,
replies Lenny. Steve shakes his head. This place is the weirdest. It's like being trapped in a parallel universe where everything is just a little off, and I can't handle a third Dennis. Back at the Chesterwood store, Ed is feeling more confident in his role as a district manager.
If I've told you once, I told you a million times. The day dots are supposed to be stored in this corner,
says Ed as he scolds Dennis and moves the roll of day dot stickers across the room.
But they don't make any sense to go there. I need them here,
insists Dennis as he tries to take the stickers back from Ed.
It doesn't matter what you think. Corporate store schematic says they go here,
snaps Ed as he pulls the stickers away from Dennis. Dennis reaches around Ed's bald head, snatches the day dots back, and puts them back where he likes them.
If you don't put them back where they belong, I'm going to suspend you from work,
says Ed as he pulls the manager card.
What? Seriously?
Dennis challenges. Ed chooses not to respond and instead just stares unblinking back at Dennis.
Ugh, fine,
capitulates Dennis.
I don't like who you've become, but have it your way, Mr. District Manager,
grumbles Dennis. Pleased with himself, Ed walks back to Debbie.
How'd I do?
Ed asks.
Pretty good, except you engaged in a conflict with a lower-level employee, which is a store-level responsibility. It would have been better if you had instead instructed Beth to have that conflict with Dennis and saved your own dignity,
replies Debbie.
Okay, next time, yell at Beth. Got it,
nods Ed. A few days later, Debbie takes Ed around town to teach him how to inspect other stores.
I can't believe you disrespect company property like this. Unacceptable,
Ed yells at Ted as he inspects the Chuck Fallon store.
You of all people should understand,
protests Ted.
Clean this up immediately or I'll demote you to Farnold,
yells Ed with a pig light snort.
No, anything but Farnold. I'll clean it up right away,
replies Ted as he scrambles to clean up the pile of pizza bags on the office floor that he used the night before as a makeshift bed.
Good job, Ed. Don't take any excuses from your subordinates. It's not your fault he chooses to sleep at the store. This isn't a hotel. That's disgusting and pathetic,
says Debbie as she helps Ed justify his actions. Over at the Farnold store, Ed can't find anything to complain about. Ed says aloud. He looks at his clipboard and searches every nook and cranny of his old restaurant. He looks in the cold tables. They are perfect. He searches the walk-in refrigerator. All 100 containers are labeled correctly. He checks the three-compartment sink, the box room, even the office, and everything is perfect. Ned stands in the middle of the restaurant and gloats that he's going to get the first ever perfect score on a store inspection.
You can't find anything wrong, can you?
He smugly asks Ed.
Not yet, but I'll find something. Don't you worry,
replies Ed as he searches more desperately.
I've been working real hard to turn this store around. You're not going to find anything wrong here,
gloats Ned. An hour later, Ed has virtually torn apart the store looking for anything that Ned missed.
You better find something,
Debbie whispers aggressively into Ed's ear.
I'm trying,
Ed intensely whispers back.
Look, I'm only going to tell you this because you're never going back to being a general manager. So you cannot tell anyone,
she whispers.
Okay, what is it?
Ed asks in desperation.
Take some pizza dust and sprinkle it on the top of the bathroom cabinet. Then mark him off as having a dirty bathroom. It's a 5-point deduction,
she again whispers to Ed.
Great idea,
Ed willingly agrees. As he does, his face morphs and begins to look more like Debbie. His ears get pointy, His teeth grow into monstrous fangs, and his nose fully changes into a pig's nose. A few moments later, the dirty deed is done. As Ed hands Ned a 95% score, his self-confidence is destroyed. Ed and Debbie laugh like evil villains and leave the store. Their next stop is the College City store.
"You're really shaping up into a great district manager," says Debbie as she lauds Ed with praise. "Thanks. It's because you're such a good teacher," says Ed as he sucks up to his boss.
They arrive at the College City store and walk in through the front door. It's the first time Ed has seen Steve in over a week. Debbie heads straight to Fred's office to berate him. Ed stops and makes small talk with Steve as he waits.
"Hey, how's everything going here?"
Ed asks between cheerful snorts. Steve gives Ed a suspicious look. "I'm sorry. Do I know you?"
"It's me, Ed,"
insists the monstrous-looking pig troll.
"Ed? What happened to you? You look like Debbie,"
says Steve in shock. Ed mistakes Steve's concern for a compliment.
"Oh, thanks. She's a great teacher. So if I'm looking like her, that means I'm on my way to the top."
Ed smiles at Steve, who shudders as the fluorescent lights glimmer off of Ed's newly grown fangs. Ed and Debbie complete their inspection, leaving destruction in their wake and Fred in tears. As they leave, Steve texts Dennis.
"What is going on with Ed? He's a monster."
Dennis texts back immediately.
"I know. He moved everything in the store back where it belongs, not where I need it."
A few days later, Steve and Dennis meet at the Chesterwood store to have an intervention and stop Ed's rampage. They corner Ed in the back of the store as he leaves for a district manager meeting.
"I've got his keys,"
yells Steve.
"Ha! Now you're not going anywhere,"
mocks Dennis.
"What are you two doing? Give me my keys back,"
demands the trolley-looking Ed.
"No, you're going to hear us out first," says Steve firmly.
"Ugh, I don't have time for this. I have a meeting with Tim and the other DMs in half an hour,"
says Ed angrily.
"I thought we were friends. I gave up smoking for you. How could you treat me like this?"
questions Dennis.
"You're turning into a monster, can't you see it?"
Steve points out.
"First off, Driver A, smoking is bad for the company's bottom line. Second, Driver B, I'm not turning into a monster. I'm simply executing company policy correctly. If you don't like it, that's burnt brownie bites for you,"
replies Ed firmly.
"I don't have to stand here and take this from hourly employees. Where is your manager? Beth, get out here now!"
Ed yells through the back door.
"Yes, sir. What can I do for you?"
asks Beth, sounding more like Ed than Beth these days.
"I need you to reprimand your employees. Get my keys back from that driver and put those two on suspension for a week," says Ed firmly.
"Listen to yourself. You sound like Debbie. You look like Debbie. And now look at what you've done to Beth. Her rainbow colored hair is frizzy and falling out. She looks like you,"
argues Steve as he points at Ed.
"Hey, I don't look that bad,"
says a beaten down and clearly exhausted Beth.
"You guys want to live in Bizarro World Pizza Bros? Fine. Here's your keys."
Steve places the keys in Ed's waiting hand. "Just remember to look in the mirror someday and see what you've chosen to be." Ed leaves Steve and Dennis to be disciplined by Beth and heads to his meeting with Tim and the other district managers. As Ed arrives at the meeting, he looks at himself in a mirror on the wall, adjusts his cheap blue suit, and says to himself,
"What is Steve talking about? I look great!"
He then smiles and for the first time notices that his teeth look more like sharp fangs than the teeth of a human. He shakes his head, dismisses the thought, and heads to his seat. An hour into the meeting, Tim unveils a new store-level policy.
"Our new policy is pretty simple. Drivers can no longer deliver more than two orders at a time." "What a great idea,"
says Derek as he nods his head in agreement.
"Very wise,"
agrees Darcy.
"We'll make this mandatory in all of our stores immediately,"
agrees Debbie. Ed looks around the meeting and sees all the other district managers nodding their heads in blind agreement. At first, he also nods his head in agreement. But then, something changes in Ed. Ed thinks about the implications that the new policy will have on store-level employees. His expression of agreement slowly changes into a look of concern. He looks around the table and realizes that no one else sees the problem. He slowly and sheepishly raises his hand. As he does, Debbie shoots him a look that says, "Don't do it." Ed sees Debbie's look and remembers her first rule. Don't ask questions. Just agree to whatever they tell you to do and then do it. But by then, Ed couldn't stop himself. He knew this policy would hurt the store managers and every employee in the store. It would make doing their jobs even harder than it already was, something he understood well.
Excuse me, Tim? Has anyone thought about how this is going to affect the store-level employees? We already have a hiring shortage, and the implications of this policy will mean we need more drivers to take the same amount of deliveries. The drivers will make less money, and we'll have to hire even more people, which managers could already barely do,
he explains as his voice quakes and shakes. Tim looks at Ed with disgust.
Affect the store-level employees? We have a job to do, and their job is to do what we tell them or else.
Tim leans over and calls his assistant.
Clarice, new guy isn't working out. Have security remove him.
He pauses for a moment and adds,
and rough him up a little on the way out too.
The next day, a bruised and battered Ed is back at Pizza Bros Chesterwood looking like his old self. The fangs are gone and his hair is frizzy once again. From the back of the store, he can hear Dennis complain loudly at Jenny.
I always get the worst of it. I'm stuck here with you for another 3 weeks because Steve got hit by a car working at College City.
Dennis leans through the doorway and yells towards the office.
Thanks a lot, Ed!
Ed lets out a loud groan and repeatedly strikes his head against his desk in frustration.
Ugh! I should have put my name on that stupid check, he mutters.
Once again, Ed has completely failed to learn his lesson. The end. All right, and that wraps up Volume 4 of Pizza Bros. Thank you guys for listening to the Pizza Bros podcast. Don't forget to visit our website, therealpizzabros.com, where you can sign up for all kinds of notifications, and you can share us on social media, tell your friends, because remember, without you guys, we'd have zero audience. And we will return in the future with Volume 5.
Thanks for listening.
See you guys soon.
Bye.